you so. Can't say I didn't tell you so. It's the Monday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. Presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. Intern Will is here. Hunter Vaughn is with us. Tiny Hands at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. I will get to everybody in just a moment. But we've got to start with Packers beating the Bears 20-19. The final score, Packers win on a blocked field goal as time expires in regulation. Thank you, Carl Brooks. Thank you, Carl Brooks. I said it was 0%. I was barely right, but I was right. The Packers find a way to get it done. Actually, more so than the Packers finding a way to get it done, the Bears find a way to continue to be stinky doo-doo. The Bears find a way to poop down their legs, shoot themselves in the foot, and all the in-betweens. They are an embarrassing football team that the Packers almost lost to and should have lost to. They're an embarrassing football team. So we'll get to the point of the show where I'm critical on the Packers. And, you know, I'll say again, you know, they probably shouldn't have won that game. But at the end of the day, the Bears are going to Bears, and that's exactly what they did. They found ways to look like the superior team, but at the end of the day, take the L. The Bears were the better football team yesterday, and they still found a way to lose that game by just a point, 20-19. But you never apologize for winning in the NFL, and I never apologize for being right on this show. So while I said 0%, and it was much more like 49%, it was 0%, and they ultimately find a way to lose. So a win is a win, and I will never apologize for being right, but obviously we'll get critical. We'll go ahead and, you know, take down your gut feelings on this game 21 hours later. But you see it on the lower third if you're watching on YouTube. Quote, there is no chance the Bears win, end quote, some idiot. That idiot was me. And that idiot was correct, as the Packers now 7-3 on the season. All right, those are my opening thoughts. We will get more into the game in just a moment. But I would like to open up the floor to the panel. We start with Joshy DiMaggio here at the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio. Joshy, you texted me three different times yesterday throughout the game, 0%.
Yes.
I continued to respond, 0%. And as soon as Carl Brooks had his middle finger touch that football, I texted you and Gabe Neitzel in our group chat, which, by the way, I feel like we should tell everybody the name of that group chat. It is called the Rich Bisaccia Fan Club.
Uh-huh.
I said in our group chat, 0%. And you and Gabe got very angry with me because the Packers did not deserve to win that game and should not have won that game, but they somehow found a way to win that game. Your reaction to A, me being right, and B, the Packers winning over the Bears 20-19.
I said it in the text message, in that group message. You were as historically wrong as anyone's ever been wrong. The only thing that happened is you got the end result, the one in, like, it's literally a 1% chance, I believe, that field goals are blocked in today's NFL. So you got the, what would they call it? You went turn river. You river-rivered someone. You got two cards you needed, and you got them, and you lucked out. There is a piece of me, as much as I'm a Packer fan and things are better when the Packers are winning, that wanted them to lose just so I could be mean to you today and all week. That's how upset I was watching the Packers and the clear and obvious not 0% chance that they could win that game. Because that game was a coin flip. That game was a loss. It was written all over it. It was waiting for it to be a loss, and somehow Carl Brooks and Rich Bisaccia, the fan club that I jokingly named it last year when I said, what does Rich Bisaccia do? He's the reason Anders Carlson is here. And you guys tried to argue with me that that wasn't the case. Then Jason told us that was the case.
And you know I've come around to the Rich Bisaccia doubt club.
Everyone's pretty much joined this point. This was the first time I think Rich Bisaccia, like, definitively made an impact on a game. Now, it doesn't take a genius to see, like, hey, these guards keep caving in and you can kind of get something here. And this kicker kicks it low. But that was the difference of the game. It was something they talked about all week, and it made it happen. So credit to Rich Bisaccia for the one thing he's done for the Packers. But, yeah, you misjudged us. And I think the important thing here, and it was something Jen also talked about, she couldn't understand why the spread was only five and a half. The spread isn't about the Bears. It's about the Packers. It's about the Packers who leave the door open for teams, can't put teams away, and at times are a comedy of errors and dysfunction that keep teams in games and keep them closer than they need to be.
Yeah, that's all really well said. Look, I'm gloating as a joke, for the record.
Yeah,
right. I hope we understand that.
We could tell when you laughed after the first sentence. You couldn't even keep. Wouldn't be a great poker player, as I made a poker reference twice now.
Yeah, you have. I would not. I am not a good poker player. I'm better at blackjack, and I'm better when there's nobody else at the table. But at the end of the day, this was as sloppy of a win as you could possibly get in the NFL for a team that didn't deserve to win. Flat out, right? I mean, the red zone offense is unbelievably concerning.
29th.
Yeah, 29th
They told us every time they could.
29th in the league and missed multiple opportunities again yesterday. Now, obviously, they still scored three touchdowns and couldn't convert the two-point conversion. You go for it on fourth down in the red zone.
Wild.
You don't have a good play drawn up. Jordan Love tries to run it. Obviously, does not get there on fourth and goal. I mean, there's just so many issues within this game that make you go, oh my goodness, this team is nowhere near as good as we think they are. They are not 7-3 good. I mean, this is not a 7-3 football team. The real test will be Sunday against San Francisco, which we'll talk a lot about this week. Since I did it last week, I'll do it right here. I said there was a 0% chance the Packers lose last week. I will put it at a 65% chance the Packers lose this week. Okay, I'll come out of the gates and say that. That's how discouraged I am from yesterday's game. But I was right, and that's all that matters to me. I was right.
I think Sunday's a very winnable game.
San Francisco is also dysfunctional.
5-5 football
right now.
Team.
5-5, but they are much better than the Chicago Bears. Much better.
Much
better. They're better. I mean, and look, they were in the Super Bowl last week. I'm discouraged, to say the least. Let's bring in our buddy Hunter Vaughn, Tiny Hands, who's a Cowboys fan, so he doesn't have an allegiance to the Green Bay Packers. And as you can tell from the lower third that says, There's no chance the Bears win, some idiot, has no allegiance to me. Hunter Vaughn, the floor is yours.
I did not care about this game at all. I was only watching because I feel like it's kind of my job. I have to pay attention to the game. And I desperately wanted the Packers to lose as I realized the Bears were in the game, just so I could light you up on Twitter. Like, I had a tweet locked and loaded with the video of you saying there was no chance to win. All I had to do was hit send. And then the stupid Bears had to bear, and I can't even do that. Like, I get no joy out of football this year. The Badgers mm-hmm. suck. The Cowboys suck. Mm-hmm. The Bears can't help me out and just kick a field goal. It was so annoying. I'm so mad. Just because I wanted to light you up on Twitter. I hate it.
Let me read you some of the texts and DMs from strangers I received in the third and fourth quarter yesterday, shall we? First one, 2:30 p.m. Blatant F you. Just two words. F you. I'm not going to say what that actually said. The following text from the same number. This is your dumbass fault. Go to hell. Okay, that's one of the texts I got yesterday. Let's read some of the other ones I got yesterday. Here's another text I got yesterday. This one at what time? This was at about 2:35. This blank is on you. They'd have 50 points if you didn't jinx them. And then I said, I have zero effect on the Packers. Reply I got was, whatever helps you sleep at night. Okay, that's one of them. Just got a DM, 2:31 p.m., somebody that didn't follow me prior. You are an idiot. Yep, I am. That's accurate. So the fun thing about what we do, and that doesn't bother me, right? If you need to lash out at me, lash out at me. That's what I responded to everybody with. I understand that comes with the territory of the prediction business and saying what we say. And what I said all of last week, multiple times, over and over to the point that it was annoying, I understand that, was that the Packers had a 0% chance of losing. I can't sit here and say I was wrong. It was looking like I was going to be wrong. Luckily, Carl Brooks exists, and they need to put him on the field more. The Packers find a way to win ugly. That's what matters to me. A win's a win. You never apologize for winning. But I don't feel good after yesterday. Like, I don't feel good about barely beating the Chicago Bears. I don't feel good about it. I don't know. Like, I feel like yesterday was kind of the worst case scenario, right? If they lose, I eat crap. I get text messages. I get tagged in tweets. People say they hate me and I'm an idiot, right? That's one way to go about this. That doesn't happen, but I still feel like crap because the Packers did not look like the playoff team, the Super Bowl team that we have expectations for. The team we saw against the Chicago Bears yesterday is not the team that we expected to see. And that's the part that disappoints me. Jordan Love is still making bad throws. Decisions were a little bit better, right? The interception he threw, it was the right decision, but it was fundamentally a bad throw. He just way overthrew his guy. Some of the risky throws to Christian Watson, they paid off. I don't know if those are the best decisions, but hey, they paid off. And again, in those situations, if it's a 50-50 ball or you're throwing into double coverage, you understand that comes risky. That comes, you know, that comes with the territory, but luckily some of them paid off. At the end of the day, the Packers defense couldn't get off the field. It looked a lot more like a Joe Barry defense than it did the Jeff Hafley defense we've so far enjoyed. Yesterday was not Jeff Hafley's best day. There were a lot of errors within that. And that's the part that irritates me. Because when it comes to a team like San Francisco, who I know is struggling, they're 5-5. On paper, they're still just as good, if not better, than the Packers. You've got teams down the stretch, a couple weeks away from Detroit now. What you saw yesterday isn't good enough to beat the Lions. It's barely good enough to beat the Bears. So there are some serious issues within this football team. But at the end of the day, you know, hey, we're that much closer to solidifying ourselves in the playoffs. We're inching closer and closer to giving ourselves a chance to have a chance, right? At 7-3, you got to win maybe three more games over your next seven to definitely get in. Maybe four. And the Packers are good enough to do that. But what you saw yesterday, what I saw yesterday, what we all watched yesterday and put ourselves through yesterday, it didn't look like a championship football team. It just didn't. Jordan Love doesn't look like an MVP caliber quarterback. Sorry. This defense looks like it has a lot of the same issues it did under Joe Barry. They couldn't get off the field. The Bears converted 75% of third and fourth down attempts. 75%. That's unacceptable against an offense that allowed 9 sacks a week ago to the New England Patriots. And you really couldn't get after the quarterback until the very end of the game. And they still found ways to convert those drives. So all in all, it was a completely discouraging effort from the Green Bay Packers yesterday. But again, you will never apologize for a win in the NFL. You're still 7-3. Whether that's a 1-point win or a 100-point win, a win is a win. And your record is better yesterday or today than it was yesterday. But I'm discouraged and I'm nervous about some of these games coming up, specifically this weekend against San Francisco, specifically against Detroit in a couple of weeks, again against Minnesota. You end the season against Chicago. Hopefully nothing's on the line for that game other than maybe you're the 4 or the 5 seed or the 6 seed. Because as far as I'm concerned, Chicago seemingly has a Green Bay's number, or they did yesterday. And could that have been? Could that have been in regards to the fired coach theory, right? You get up a little bit extra. There's a little bit of a fire lit under your bum when a coach is fired. Sure, that could play a role. But this isn't the best team in the NFC North. I don't even know if they're the second best team in the NFC North. I'd probably still take Minnesota over Green Bay. But it's okay. A win's a win. You're still in position to be a playoff team. And I'll feel better about this on Wednesday. But the day after, it feels really gross, Joshy.
Yeah, I mean, wins are wins. Always good to get them. This game is going to matter when wild card seeding happens, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So I'm not overly discouraged by anything. I do think it's a continuation of what we've seen from the Packers. I do think Jordan Love clearly got the message on throwing the ball away or tucking and running. Because there was a couple times he probably made the decision to just wing it out when Jordan Love could have probably extended it or tried to find a receiver in those situations. But the interception being just a bad throw is actually, to me, a good sign. Obviously, you don't want to be missing players like he did, but He didn't just do the F it, throw it up, here goes nothing, hopefully something good happens. The defense, to me, is an issue that's persistent, is probably not going to change, because the big issue is clearly the pass rush is ineffective. They're not getting enough up there. Brenton Cox Jr. was good to see him there. I am on pace for him to lead the team in sacks for the remainder of the season, just to throw a prediction out there. But, like, what... You hope this team can get better, and I'm not ready to say they're not going to get better. There's still a lot of games left to be, and sometimes one game changes like the entire trajectory of a season. Things start clicking. I don't think it was Matt LaFleur's best game.
No.
I don't think it was Jeff Hafley's best game. He was slow
certainly
to react.
Not. Yeah, certainly.
And, you know, it was an unfamiliar opponent in terms of the new OC. But I could have told you they were going to use Caleb Williams' athleticism, and they're going to throw screens. Those are things that even the fans watching, the dummies like us, were like, hey, why don't they do that? Why aren't they getting the ball in DJ Moore's hands more?
Yeah.
So, like, how are you not prepared for that was sort of confusing to me. Way too late to react to Caleb Williams running.
Yeah, 9 carries, 70 yards.
But those things are going to happen, and you're not going to have your best day, and getting a win out of it is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to start seeing signs here eventually.
Yeah, and you know, you look at some of the stats. I won't bug you down with some of the boring details, but DeAndre Swift averaged over 5 yards a carry. Caleb Williams averaged about 8 yards a carry. Couldn't stop the run. I mean, they were running all over you. They ran the ball 34 times. They averaged over 5 yards a carry. That's not a good stat.
I think you, in today's NFL, you can beat teams like that, and you can beat them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. You just have to have more when it comes to stopping the pass, which is clearly not a thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, 68 plays to 43. Yeah. They had 25 more plays than you offensively. Your defense was on the field 25 more plays than your offense was.
Yes.
That's never good.
No.
And, you know, they still found a way to win, but barely, right? I mean, it's a game you walk away. It's similar to, but kind of different at the same time. I think it was week 3 last year they played the Saints. Saints missed a field goal at the end of regulation. It was that big comeback. So you felt encouraged leaving that game at least, right? Because the Saints went up big. Jordan Love leads a big comeback in the fourth quarter. I think it's the biggest in team history. And they missed a field goal. This was not that.
No.
Other than the blocked field goal at the end of the game. You didn't play your best football. You were down at halftime. You were down at the end of the third quarter. You were down pretty much until the last couple minutes when you get that touchdown. You miss the 2-minute or the 2-point conversion. The Bears run the clock. They get into field goal territory. They feel confident they can make the kick. And luckily, Carl Brooks gets his middle finger up.
I think there is a case to be made for maybe this is the wake up call the team needs. And it's not just the players, even though there's plenty of them that are underperforming, but even the coaching staff, like, they clearly took a team for granted there in the Bears, and they weren't ready to go. We expected there to be a lull. Maybe it would only last the first quarter, but like, maybe this is a thing that sets the course correction. This team scored 3 points 2 weeks ago against the Patriots, a team that is very, very bad.
Very bad.
So the Bears are on the level with them, and you had to basically hold on to your butts and get everything you needed there. I thought it was encouraging. That version of Christian Watson, now he doesn't need to have 150 yards, but a player that is playing that way is going to change the face of the offense. But where the hell was Jayden Reed? Where the hell was Tucker Kraft? What was going on out there? Romeo Doubs dropped a pass. It was just, there was a lot of issues throughout the whole thing, but those things can be improved.
Look, this is not the end of the season, and this is not the end of the Packers by any means, so we shouldn't act like that. Although I am kind of acting like that, so I apologize for my negativity. But I just felt like that was not the team I expected in any scenario I ran in my head. The bad interception? Yeah, of course. I wasn't surprised that happened. But the lack of, as you mentioned, Tucker Kraft, 0 catches. Dontavian Wicks, 0 catches. He was wide open for a big one, too, that Love just missed. Romeo Doubs had 1 catch. Chris Brooks had more catches than Romeo Doubs and as many as Jayden Reed. Watson was great, right? There's no doubt about that. And, you know, we'll get the stock up, stock down here in a bit. But we've talked about all season, when is he going to have his breakout game? this was the one for Christian Watson, and that was encouraging to see, right? That was a good note. Josh Jacobs was terrific yesterday. I mean, he is so unbelievably vital to this Packers offense. What he provides offensively is such a huge boost and so encouraging to what you can continue to do to him as we get or do with him as you get into the colder months and you get into those grinded out type games like you saw yesterday. Josh Jacobs was a huge offseason ad by Brian Gutekunst. So tip of the cap there because he was awesome yesterday. 18 carries, 76 yards and the touchdown, 4 catches for 58. So about 125 yards, more than that, 130 yards total and a touchdown for Josh Jacobs yesterday. Awesome game for him. He is huge to this offense.
We can't ignore the people that said that wasn't an upgrade.
Yeah, it wasn't very many people, right? I mean, we spent...
I think if you go back and look at some of the polls that were done on ESPN Milwaukee, that was closer to a 50-50 result than you would expect.
Yeah, that's true.
Because people love their own guy.
Yeah.
Now look at Aaron Jones' season, look at Josh Jacobs.
The heartbeat of the team and what Josh Jacobs is doing and what he's likely going to continue to do here after the bye. It's going to be huge.
He shows up every week.
And
it's that simple.
You can't say the same for the quarterback, who was actually pretty efficient yesterday, but he only threw the ball 17 times.
Right. You got to add in the scrambles, but even then.
What does that tell you about Matt LaFleur's faith in Jordan Love, that you're only throwing the ball 17 times in a game like that? I mean, I know you only had, 43 offensive snaps, but...
Yeah. It felt like... So, I thought...
I'm glad he didn't abandon the run. Don't get me wrong.
Yes. But I thought it was clear and obvious. They thought their best path to victory was use a heavy dosage of... Josh Jacobs. What stopped them is their inability to convert on third downs, and there was just no flow. So if you can't get things going through the passing game, it's going to be start, stop, start, stop. Like, they called more pass plays. Jordan Love ran some. They did can to a couple runs that you could see there. So there was a scenario where that game looked better, but it did feel like Matt LaFleur took a more stated conservative approach, because to me it felt like Matt LaFleur said, hey, if we do what we know we can, and that's run the ball a ton, play somewhat good defense, we can get out of here with a win. Now it took a blocked field goal to get there, but there was no, and Chewy always uses the word flowy, there was no like unison. It didn't seem like things were setting up things, or there was like...
Oh, complimentary football.
Yeah,
right.
The offense was start, stop, start, stop. We need a giant play here. There's been comments about the Watson throw into double coverage.
To me,
I don't fault Jordan Love. Team needed a play. Sometimes it was your guy.
It was a risk worth taking.
Yes. At times, you know, I don't want Jordan Love doing that when the Packers are up 14 in the fourth quarter. And it's like, yeah, maybe don't take that chance. But
yeah,
they needed something.
All right. Let's put a bow on this before we get to stock up, stock down. Intern Will. He is a Bears fan. He made his first ever appearance on ESPN Wisconsin last week. He was trolling me all week, right? He said, if the Bears find a way to win, man, you watch out. I'm coming for your throat on Twitter. So intern Will yesterday, bless his soul, bless his heart, was sitting there in his apartment watching the Bears be the Bears. Was getting this great highlight tape ready to troll me and Joshy. And then he just had to pivot because the Packers found a way to win somehow. Here's what intern Will put together. We will all grade it together. If you're listening on the audio side, I think you'll get the idea. If you're watching on the video side, which you currently are, if you're watching live, you got to see what intern Will put together. I mean, it's a masterpiece. And we will, me and Joshy will grade our intern, Will, on how he did here with his first ever video project for Mr. Irrelevant. No pressure, Will. Here is what intern Will put together for our show today. I have absolutely zero doubts the Packers will win on Sunday.
I think the Packers could play 10-man football against their 11 and still win.
There is a 0% chance that the Packers lose.
Love comes up. Oh! That's a great block outside. One man to beat. Swift. Foot race. Put down. Line. Williams lofting one for a dude. He caught it. Wow. And it's blocked. Oh, my goodness.
This team is stinky doo-doo. They're horrible. Yeah, intern Will with this video project. Video courtesy of Fox. How do we think he did, Joshy?
I thought it was good. I think those were the two clips you needed in there. It would have been a lot funnier if it happened and we could play that and laugh at ourselves. But now we get to laugh at Will and the Chicago Bears. Because even when all signs point to the Chicago Bears winning, they find a way to lose. Yeah. And that's the difference between the Green Bay Packers organization and the Chicago Bears. Yeah. One finds a way to win, the other finds a way to lose. And that's just how it is.
Hunter, how do we think intern Will did?
10 out of 10, no notes. That was perfect.
Was perfect. And the final score graphic there pops up at the end. 2019 Packers over the Bears. 0% chance. I love it. All right, I got to tell you about my friends at Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Whether you're heading up to Door County, if you are, got to stop in. Do the tours, do the tastings. It's a heck of a time there in Carlsville. Or if you're not going to Door County, bring Door County to you. Tailgates, parties, holiday gatherings, whatever you got coming up in the next couple of weeks. Get the Door County Distillery Bourbon or the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey. You can get the brandies for your old fashions. Thanksgiving's coming up. I mean, you're going to have people over. Do it right. Door County Distillery. Their apple brandy, their cherry brandy made with local Door County cherries. They also have a cherry vodka, normal vodka. Gin, rums, all the in-betweens. Door County Distillery elevates your experience, your party, your gathering, your holiday. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website and available at retailers all over the state of Wisconsin. Just go to the liquor store right by you. You'll find some Door County Distillery. We'll step aside for 60 seconds. When we return, stock down, stock up, stock down. And the Badgers have fired their offensive coordinator, Phil Longo. Reminiscent of when they fired Paul Chryst. I'll tell you that story, but also we react to the firing of Phil Longo after only 23 games in Madison as the offensive coordinator. Almost had the chance to beat number one Oregon, unable to do it. The offensive coordinator pays for it. We will react to all that still ahead. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strove. Fall is here, and once again, it has me asking the question, where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to the great Liberty Station off the Beltline in Madison. Let's go into Liberty Station. Always a good time to enjoy a Door County Distillery Old Fashioned made with the delicious cherry brandy, which of course is infused with famous cherries from Door County. Whether you're making an Old Fashioned, just splashing in some lemon or lime juice, or just mixing it with a soda, nothing better than the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. You can enjoy it everywhere, whether it's a tailgate, a holiday gathering, or you're sitting out at the patio right here at Liberty Station. Do it right with the Door County Distillery Cherry Brandy. Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Yeah, DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. All right, let's dive in. We do this each and every Monday following Packers games. Stock up to some players and some people. Stock down to some others. Obviously, there's plenty to react to from yesterday's game. We'll start that with stock up, and we will start with the wide receiver, Christian Watson. Huge plays for him, man. I think he only had four or five catches and was close to the 150-yard mark. He was awesome, and he came through pretty much every opportunity. Jordan Love looked his way, caught every pass thrown in his direction. Four catches, 150 yards, including a big-time 60-yarder, a couple of long ones. I mean, he averaged almost 40 yards a catch last night, which is huge. So the biggest game of the season by far for him and for a guy that obviously has been dealing with some injury issues in years past and dealt with one earlier in the season. You weren't really sure where we stood with him, right? You're always worried about the injuries and can he stay healthy because you know he provides such a spark to the Packers offense. He's their best vertical threat, which he proved big time yesterday. He was awesome. Four catches, 150 yards for Christian Watson, including some huge moments that set up scoring drives and got the Packers into the red zone. So big time game by Christian Watson. Stock up to Christian Watson. Let's go to stock down. It's a guy that I have usually said, I don't think he's been as bad as people have said he's been. But he was bad yesterday. The guy can't tackle a 50-pound dummy, if you asked him to, it looked like yesterday. That would be the former first-round pick, Quay Walker. Missing tackles, in the wrong spot, can't drag guys down. You know, he's got a guy wrapped up 4 yards behind the goal line, and he still scores a touchdown. Just so many issues with Quay Walker yesterday. And then you look over at the sideline, and I don't want to kick a guy while he's down, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to kick a guy while he's down. You look over to the sideline after the Packers allow another scoring drive in the third quarter. And who is motivating the Packers defense? Who's giving the pep talk? None other than the guy that allowed the touchdown, Quay Walker. And I get he's a captain, and I get he's a leader, and I get he's the green dot guy, right? He's wearing the green dot on his helmet. He's technically the defensive play caller. It's time to switch it up. You've seen so much good out of Edrin Cooper. You've seen some good out of Isaiah McDuffie. You've seen some good out of Eric Wilson. I'd be fine with those three being the lead dogs in the linebacker room going forward. Quay Walker was really bad yesterday. And it's the first time all season where multiple times he popped off the TV screen for all the wrong issues. And it didn't just happen once or twice. We're seriously talking 6, 7, 8 plays where Quay Walker did something, I don't want to say detrimental because they won the game, but something nearly detrimental for the Packers defense. So Quay Walker, big stock down. I'm losing faith in that first round selection.
I don't know if you know what the word detrimental means.
Detrimental means it leads to a loss, doesn't it?
You could be a detriment and still have the result.
So I thought detrimental was only bad.
It's a negative.
I know that.
So,
but I think it's the ultimate bad, isn't it?
No,
I don't believe
it leads to loss or failure.
No, it's just he did not help positively. So you were fine. Well, don't try and use big words.
Detrimental. Trending to cause harm. Never mind. He was detrimental. Okay. I had it right, and then I hedged, and Joshy caught my hedge. Stock down to my vocabulary for the fourth week in a row. Yeah. Quay Walker, stock down. Let's go back to stock up. That would go to Carl Brooks, of course, who's really only ever been stock up. I don't know that Carl Brooks has ever done anything where I've gone, ah, man, that's too bad to see. Right, Joshy? Like, this has been our guy now in his second year. We've both loved us some Carl Brooks, and we haven't seen him as much defensively as maybe we'd like to. He's still getting in the rotation, seeing some playing time defensively, but came up huge in special teams yesterday. The air time, the vertical jump, and the length of his middle finger come through.
Perhaps it's what he does in the run game, but he seems so disruptive. I don't know why he's not getting more snaps, because it seems like every time he's on the field, he's at least he's not a detriment to the defense there. There's a piece of me that thinks he might have the advantage of not playing enough for us to point out his flaws at this point, because much like Edger and Cooper, every time you see him, he's making an impact play.
Yeah.
And that's just sort of what he is. Like, he is undersized, that's for sure. You could tell by the way he was able to jump that he would be undersized for defensive lineman, but I would start throwing him out, maybe bring him off the edge.
Yeah, William on the YouTube chat says, less Clark, more Brooks.
Kenny Clark's not going anywhere.
No, he's not. But am I against it?
No.
No.
And Kenny Clark's only, like, he was 70-ish percent, I believe.
Yeah, like, right around there.
He's not playing every snap anymore.
No. But he's still in there on third downs and some of the crucial downs where maybe a little spark from Brooks wouldn't hurt. Now let's go back to something you just said. Maybe off the edge. Is he athletic enough for that?
I think he is.
Okay.
And he's not as big as he would be very big for an edge rusher.
That's
but like if you measure him up, I can't imagine he's that much different than Lucas Van Ness, who's a monster of a man.
Hercules, as they call him, yes. And more of a boy, isn't he? Only like 20 years old.
He's a young fella. Packers love him young. Didn't mean to sound like that.
Hey.
My bad.
just says my bad.
That's my bad.
Yeah, you're right.
Bad words.
Hey, it's okay.
Bad choice of language.
Hey, it's all right.
That vocab, not to great today.
Detriment to the program. Well done, Joshy. Yes, good recovery there. Okay, let's go back to stock down. Jordan Love. I'm trying not to overreact here, okay? So bear with me. I worry that Jordan Love might not be a top five type quarterback. I'm not ruling him out. I'm not saying it's never possible. Just what I've seen in year two as a starter in its entirety, not just yesterday, I worry that Jordan Love might not be Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson level of quarterback. And that could be on me for setting those expectations that high after the second half of last year. Or that could be on Love. Or both could be true, for setting the expectations that high. He's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. Can he evolve into one? Maybe. But what we have seen this season, He has now played in 7.5 games, 8 total, counting the Jacksonville game. That would be the half game. He has thrown an interception in every one. Now, to use our word detrimental, our word of the day. It is detrimental to a flow. It is detrimental to a rhythm offensively. For an offense that we've kind of grown to expect under Matt LaFleur is a very rhythmic offense. It's a momentum-driven offense. When something is working, it opens up other things. The interceptions are starting to worry me. It's not that I think he's going to throw 20 of them. It's the timing of them, and it is how they are happening. Yesterday was not a bad decision. Yesterday was a bad throw. It was the actual ability to throw the football in the correct spot is what went wrong, which concerns me. I'm not saying he's quarterback 18 or quarterback 20 in the league. I just don't know that he'll ever get to top five. Only had to throw the ball 17 times yesterday. Your offense scores 3 touchdowns against the Bears. That should be good enough to win the game, and it was ultimately good enough to win the game. And your defense was more of the problem yesterday. But I'm getting a little bit nervous about Love, because I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, you know, last year he did it. Second half of the season, he really started gearing up. They've been comparing him to Toyota-thon. You know, November 15th through the end of the season. That's when Toyota-thon runs or whatever.
Giving out free advertising
Toyota-thon,
now?
Yeah, apparently. Toyota-thon wasn't...
Sponsor the program, Toyota.
Yeah. Somebody, Josh, get him on the phone after the show.
I'll drive a Toyota if I have to. I currently drive one, actually. Prius.
You had to. You didn't know what type of car you drove?
Didn't think about it.
That was good. That was good. Currently drive one, actually. Josh, you kept giving me looks as I'm just kind of mouth vomiting over here.
Yes.
Word vomiting, rather. Should I be worried? Am I overreacting? Where are we at with Jordan Love? Because I am a little bit concerned.
I don't know where you were at with Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love, compare him along the lines to a Matt Ryan-ish quarterback in terms of talent. I think his major benefit is Matt LaFleur isn't going anywhere unless things really go off the rails.
Right.
And I think Matt LaFleur has the ability to get the most out of him. I think his inexperience, because I'm not going to say youth, but the youth of also his pass catchers has been a detriment to him, to use the detriment is the day.
Word of the day.
Word of the day. Big time. I think those things have all factored in. I think he is the type of player who may have one or two MVP seasons in his future, but he's never going to be Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be that level. I just don't think he's talented enough. But I think when things are in his favor, he has the ability to get the very most of all the pieces involved. Right now, the recipe currently isn't correct, and I think he's to blame for parts of the recipe being off, but he's also not getting the help you would expect to the level you would expect also from his pass catchers. So I think a Matt Ryan level guy can win a Super Bowl, can win MVPs, but isn't going to be the best guy in the NFL like Aaron Rodgers was for much of his career.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. There's plenty of winning to be had in that.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's going to play below Matt Ryan.
I don't mean
and sometimes
this
he's going to play above.
I don't mean this as a knock, but I know Hunter's about to jump in, and I'm going to use his quarterback as the example.
Dak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to go somebody else from that division. Eli Manning. I mean, I pulled up his numbers. He averaged 26 touchdowns, 18 interceptions a season. Dude won 2 Super Bowls. He had a number of 30 touchdown seasons. Like, I know that those were almost historic level defenses, but like, it's still like, he still did enough to win a lot of those games, and he wasn't the reason they lost games. Like, you have to be a decent quarterback to be able to win 4 playoff games in a row with that Super Bowl. Like, Jordan Love might just be Eli Manning.
Yeah, look, you're totally right. Eli Manning won 2. Joe Flacco won 1. Nick Foles won 1. Matthew Stafford has won 1. Matt Ryan got to 1. I think that's just kind of the category we're living in, which is okay. I'm not saying it's time to move on from Love. I'm not I saw people tweeting it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the
tweets.
You got
some of that this morning, too.
Malik Willis. No, it's not at all what I'm saying. It's just...
I think
I am so conditioned to expect all-pro quarterback play. That's all I've seen.
I would place a bet here that he ends up being an all-pro multiple times throughout his career. But it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers, where if he doesn't win an all-pro, it's because the voters probably got it wrong. And that's what it was for the vast majority of Aaron Rodgers' career.
Yeah.
He was that good all the time, every time you stepped out there. Through the course of a 16, 17, 18-game season, he's going to be the best. He was most of the time. Jordan Love is going to have seasons where he looks like, holy crap, we have the best thing going. Or this guy has some warts.
I'm reading some of the YouTube chat, which always appreciate the insight and what everybody's thinking as they hang out with us here at Mr. Relevant. I just want to read through a few of these. William on the YouTube chat. Dude's been hurt for the entire year, still been trying to carry team through endless drops and penalties. Cut him some slack. It's the youngest team in football for the second year in a row. It's a fair point. William continues. Rodgers didn't win a playoff game until year three. Love is ahead of schedule. Sure. I won't argue with that. You paid him like the highest paid quarterback in football. I want to see him play like it, and it doesn't need to happen every week. That's my expectation at this point now that you make $55 million a year. I don't think that's unfair. He has not had a game this year that has blown my socks off, unless I'm forgetting one. Arizona, he was good, still threw an interception.
Yep.
Minnesota, he was good in the second half, threw three interceptions in that game. You know, he can do some really nice things. He can throw the football really well. He's an accurate quarterback. He takes really fun risks, and several of them have paid off, including a couple yesterday to Christian Watson. It's not me dogging him and saying he's a bad quarterback. That's not my point. It's more I want to see him in that top seven, top eight conversation. I don't know if he's there in 2024.
Yeah, I just think there's probably four quarterbacks who are the elite tier, and then there's probably 10 guys based on the circumstances and how they play every year that can be elite for stretches. And I think that's sort of where we should safely put Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's rapid fire wrap up stock up, stock down before we get to some of the Badgers news today. Final stock up goes to, of course, Josh Jacobs. Do I really need to explain that one? That dude is a stud. He is the centerpiece of the Packers offense. I don't think anybody can argue with me.
I want to add something to your stock up. Brenton Cox,
yeah.
He had 4 snaps in the NFL, tackle for loss, sack. You can't be more stock up than that.
No, you're right. You're right. He was good yesterday.
He can bend an edge. There hasn't been a guy that's done that in Green Bay since like Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews is exactly where my
Za'Darius
head went.
Za'Darius had
his year.
A little bit of the, but like I'm talking bending. The guys who usually win for the Packers, Rashawn Gary, it's like usually force.
Mm-hmm.
But the Von Miller, the Khalil Mack, the Nick Bosa, where they can plant their legs, dip under a guy, and get to the quarterback. That hasn't happened for a long time in Green Bay.
True that. True that. Stock down, red zone faith. This team's really bad in the red zone, man. Why are we so bad in the red zone?
What was the jet sweep to Jaden Reed?
So many questions. Plays breaking down, Love's trying to take off, didn't work. The turnover on Dan's was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Take the points, man. You take the points, the Bears can't win on a field goal.
That was a big-time gut play there from...
You know what happened there? I don't know if you thought about this the same way I did.
I thought Matt LaFleur just got a case of the bleepits. We got to score eventually.
Do you know why he got a case of the bleepits, though?
No.
So earlier in the game, about midfield, a little past midfield, it was into Packers territory. I think it was 4th-and-2 for the Bears. And Caleb Williams is jaw-jacking at Matt Eberflus on the sideline and Thomas Brown up in the box, saying, give me the football. We're going for it. Caleb Williams is calling for it to go for it on 4th down. And it worked. It ultimately led to a field goal for Chicago. But Caleb Williams asked to go for it on 4th down. It was like 15 minutes later, and I'm talking real time, I think, when he made that decision. And it did not pay off the same way. And Jordan Love was not calling for the ball like Caleb Williams was, but I think that's why he got a case of the bleepets. hopefully it's something they can work on, man, because Josh Jacobs is so good. They have a great running game. They have good receivers. They have a good tight end. They have a good quarterback. Why is it not getting put together in the red zone? I don't get that. So stock down to Red Zone Faith. Underdog and underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up. Get a 50% deposit match and a free pick at sign up. Some Monday Night Football action tonight. NBA action all week. College basketball action all week. You've got, obviously, football coming up Thursday and Sunday. And then you've got a bunch of games next Thursday. Elevate your game-watching experience with Underdog. All you have to do, you look at players' projections on their stats. You click higher or lower. You pick anywhere between 2 and 8 players. You can win up to 1,000 times your money. You can turn a buck into a grand on the Underdog app and underdogfantasy.com by using promo code GOODKARMA at sign up. It's so fun to play along on Underdog, man. Brutal break for us yesterday on Joshy's laboratory experience, as Patrick Mahomes does not have a single rush attempt.
Didn't run at all.
But otherwise we were picking winners, across the board. So
the James Harden one also devastated. That guy was chucking the ball for the first half. I don't know if you watched.
He finished with 3.
They started playing up on him, which was pretty rude.
It is what it is, but hey man, Underdog never gets old. Underdog app, underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA, GOODKARMA. Good karma at sign up. Went up to 1,000 times your money on Underdog. Whoa, was my reaction yesterday afternoon when I saw Wisconsin football tweet out, Luke Fickell has announced a coaching change. That's what they tweeted out. Like, we have a screenshot of it if Hunter wants to throw it up. It was the most vague announcement of a firing I've ever seen. Coach Fickell announces coaching change with a link to an article on uwbadgers.com was the tweet. So I thought, oh, okay, like maybe they're just doing a little shifting around. I clicked it right when it got tweeted. Oh, Luke Fickell just fired Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator. That was the change? Didn't get scooped. No reporter had it first. The team was able to announce it. You don't get that a lot in 2024. Phil Longo relieved of his duties following the Badgers' loss to number 1 Oregon on Saturday. He was fired Sunday morning by head coach Luke Fickell, just 23 games in as the offensive coordinator in Madison. The air raid era was a failure. And it didn't help. You never had a quarterback that knew how to run it. As much as Wisconsin football needed an identity change and needed some fresh energy instilled into their program, it never worked with Phil Longo. I was excited about, everybody was excited about the hire. When you looked at his track record at North Carolina and some of the other schools, Sam Houston that he had coached at, he'd done some really damn good things offensively. And it never clicked in Wisconsin. Tried to change the identity, change it to the air raid. It just never worked. And, you know, when a coaching change like Luke Fickell happens and it is not working and you are in a game where you have the opportunity on your home field to beat the number one team in the country and you fail time and time again, somebody's got to be the scapegoat. And unfortunately for Phil Longo, it was his time. 23 games in, that is it for Phil Longo as the offensive coordinator of the Wisconsin Badgers. It's the right call. Now, the thing with this is Luke Fickell not handling this well. I'd like to read you some of the quotes from Luke Fickell, who just met with the media about an hour ago in Madison. Luke Fickell asked, who will be calling plays for the Badgers going forward? Quote, why does it matter? I don't think it's really important. I guess it gives you the ability to point the finger at someone. End quote from Luke Fickell. Also asked about Braden Locke remaining the starting QB. Quote, never in doubt, end quote, when it comes to Braden Locke, who threw the game-losing interception on Saturday against the number one team in the country. Badgers brought in this stud quarterback out of high school. The Woodlands, Texas. His name is Mabry Matoyer. 4-star recruit. Had offers from all over the country. Said, yeah, no, Madison's my place, man. I had the chance to interview Mabry after his senior year. Won a state title. One of the best players in the state of Texas. They're pretty good at high school football down there. And he had the attitude and demeanor of a superstar, right? Put the ball in my hands, I'm going to win. That's what he kept telling me. Put the ball in my hands. I'm going to find ways to make plays and get us to win football games. The Badgers are 5-5 with 2 games remaining against Nebraska and Minnesota. Got to win one to keep that streak of bowl eligibility alive. Braden Locke, he took every question from the media on Saturday. Classy dude. Respect for him. He's just not that guy. and that's okay. Right? I wasn't that guy either. A lot of us aren't that guy. Braden Locke isn't. And that's okay. Maybe he could be elsewhere, but it's not going to be him at Wisconsin. Phil Longo lost his job, partially because the offense never worked, but partially because of how Braden Locke handled the end of that game on Saturday, and that's unfortunate. You never root for anybody to lose their job. I'm not rooting for Phil Longo to lose his job. I'm not rooting for Braden Locke to lose his job. But accountability matters. And what happened on Saturday was a blown opportunity of the biggest upset, debatably, in school history. Because when they beat number one Ohio State back in 2011, they were still ranked the 18th team in the country. This is not a well-respected Wisconsin team. They had the opportunity to do the unimaginable and beat the number one team in the country on their home turf. They had it in their hands, and they let it slip two possessions in a row. And Phil Longo ultimately pays the price for it. Phil Longo out as the Wisconsin Badgers offensive coordinator. Who's the replacement going to be? Luke Fickell says it doesn't matter. So do with that what you will. I mean, come on, dude. You've got two games left in the season. It doesn't matter who's calling the plays. Yes, it does. It matters who's calling the plays. It matters what plays you're calling. You got to win a game. You want to come in here and be, so far, let's tell it how it is. Let's say what it is. The hire so far and the marketing pitch Wisconsin has given you since Luke Fickell has taken over is a failure. You can't look at it any other way. So to sit here with two games remaining and one of the longest bowl eligibility streaks in the country on the line, saying it doesn't matter, it's for you to point fingers at. No, what you did was point fingers for your shortcomings. You fired a guy because you couldn't get the job done again against a team better than you when you had it in your hands. That's what happened. So save me with all the crap about it doesn't matter, you're going to point fingers. No, yes, because that's your job. When you're paid millions or hundreds and thousands of dollars to win football games at a prestigious Big Ten university, naturally there are going to be fingers pointed at you when you fall short. This is a team that has higher expectations than being 500. And sure, you can chop it up to a crappy chop block penalty on Saturday night. But there were other shortcomings, and they have been consistent shortcomings since Luke Fickell took over as the head coach. And today in his press conference, just another one. It doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. Come on. All right. Whew. Got a little hot there. I mean, come on. Hunter, that's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It almost feels like he didn't want to make this move. Which, for me, is surprising, considering you have a media timeout in the fourth quarter, you come out, and then with a 40-second play clock, you can't get a playoff. Like, that's inexcusable. You need to, at this point in the season, be able to do that. That happens against South Dakota, fine, whatever, it's early in the year, I get it. You're trying to figure things out. But it's absurd to me that they're, like, Fickell's acting like, oh, I didn't really want to do this, but, like, something had to happen. Like, stop. We could see it wasn't working out. I am also a little tired of this, of us calling it the air raid. We need to stop calling it that. This was never the air raid. Phil Longo has never actually been an air raid guy. He saw the stuff that Mike Leach was doing and like learned some of it and then incorporated a running game into it. Like it was its own separate offense. They've got to figure out this offensive coordinator hire though, because if they don't,
it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I called into Green Bay, or not Green Bay, wow, Wisconsin College Game Day with Josh and Brad on Saturday night because I was like, I need to talk about this game. And I said,
oh, I heard you.
Yeah. Like, so for those that didn't listen, I said that if they don't get this offensive coordinator hire correct, Luke Fickell's got until maybe halfway through next season. Because if the offense is bad again, then clearly this isn't working out because you've had a chance with two OCs and you're not the guy to be able to figure it out and manage a program. If he gets it right, though, this all of a sudden takes off, I think, with everything else he's doing as the head coach at Wisconsin, and he's going to have a statue right outside of Camp Randall with Barry Alvarez and Pat Richter because the program will go that well. No, that's he's doing everything else.
If he gets the hire right.
Yes.
If he gets the hire right.
Yes, if he gets it right. But he has to get it right.
But it's also very safe to say. It's also very safe to say that is a huge if.
Yes.
That is a huge if.
Yes. The next 3 months of Luke Fickell's life is going to determine the next 4 years of Wisconsin Badgers football.
Joshy, last word on Phil Longo.
It's time to make a decision. I'm discouraged by Luke Fickell's comments. I don't think he's handling it well. Obviously, I'm sure he likes Phil Longo and had to relieve his friend, but it seems like he was forced into this decision kicking and screaming. The decision to say it was never a doubt not to change the quarterback makes me question, do they have a development problem or do they not know what they're doing? Because Braden Locke is not good enough to win games. You certainly can hacksaw your way through by sheer force and will sometimes against some Big Ten teams. But it doesn't feel like it's being handled the right way. We should have seen it coming that an about-face, the way the Badgers tried to change the offensive style, was not going to work. You need the offensive linemen to stay in state, and you need to find talent with running backs the way you do. You could still evolve and advance past Paul Chris, Barry Alvarez offenses. Uh-huh. But the air raid wasn't going to work because the athletes you need, mainly the quarterback and the wide receivers, are never going to pick Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Because there's more fun places to play.
100%! And there's probably more places to get more money.
But guess what? A pro style, an evolution of the pro style, maybe something like Tom Herman ran, who knows?
Yeah, he's going to get axed at FAU, I see.
He was, so. Yes.
Oh, he was. He I was fired. So. Okay.
Unless I read that incorrectly.
I think he is going to get fired. Gotcha. I think it's Doug Peterson-esque.
Yes.
Where he's a dead man walking.
Yeah, uh-huh.
In the state of Florida, but has not officially been axed.
But yeah, it's just, you can still send tons of guys into the, there's plenty of pro-style offenses in NCAA football that do it. You can get the talent. It just doesn't feel like, and I've said this multiple times now, I said it on the post game and on Jen Gibichui, where is the difference makers on the offensive side of the ball? I like Tyree Walker. Mm-hmm. Will Pauling's pretty good.
Vinny Anthony's had some shine.
Impressive.
I'm out on Will Pauling. We need to stop right there. Dude couldn't get open against a linebacker in man coverage. And he had to try and make a diving catch. I get the pass was bad, but like, you should not have a linebacker ever running with you if you're the number one wide receiver at a Big Ten school. That is inexcusable. Yeah, dude has regressed badly.
I don't know that he's regressed, but I won't argue with that.
Dude dropped two passes that have hit him in the hands just against Oregon. Unless it's a perfect pass, the dude can't catch it. He's just not.
I think
he's
just not it. Yes, I agree. Oh, yeah, I won't argue with that.
Tyree Walker, good player. Not a difference maker at the running back position. Good.
Good.
A benefit, not a detriment, but not good enough. And I don't need Heisman candidates. Just need difference makers.
Just need viable play.
Where's a Brian Calhoun?
Does Graham Mertz win that game on Saturday, Hunter?
Well, that's a setup.
Yeah. And look, it's not even because I'm a Graham Mertz stan. Like, it's
no, I'm not done. Hold on. Slow down.
Okay.
Does Tanner McAvoy win that game on Saturday?
Yes, because he actually uses his legs in a lot of those spots.
Yeah.
Danny O'Brien.
No.
Not, right?
No.
Probably not.
I would say Stave does, but it depends which version.
Yeah, which version of Stave are you getting?
Yip's version Stave is Braden Locke-esque.
Braden Locke was bad, and you feel bad for him, right? What? Like, yes. I hate beating up on kids.
Right.
He tried his best. I get it. He wasn't even supposed to be the starter this year. He's thrown into a tough situation, but
what?
Give the freshman a chance. That's the part I don't get.
But you're gonna burn his red shirt now.
How many balls does he have?
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody jumping on a meeting? What was that sound?
His teams went off.
Yeah, I shut it off. It was the computer. I had it on. That's on me.
Like, what was that? We're jumping on a meeting? Oh, it is 1:32, so we did run a little long here. All right. We're good on the Badgers. We will continue to unpack this throughout the week. I got hot there. I don't like getting that angry. I apologize to anybody who doesn't like to listen to me yell. A couple of comments rolling in. David, Strophy, you're steaming up. You're so heated about this. I understand the frustration. Ryan says, UW needs to open their pocketbooks for a big-time OC. These kids are getting paid now. They can all get criticism. Yeah, you're right about that. No doubt. No doubt. So frustration is frustration. It is what it is. It is over and done with, as is the Phil Longo era in Madison. All right, time now. You learn something new every day. We learn something new over the weekend. Time now to wrap up the show, as we always do, with what we learned. We will stay in Madison, and we will go to the happy part of what happened in Madison this weekend. How about that men's basketball team, the Wisconsin Badgers, topping number 9 at the time, Arizona, by scoring over 100 points in a college basketball game. For the Wisconsin Badgers, John Tanjay, the transfer forward, 41 points, just too shy of Frank Kaminsky's UW record of 43. And guess who was in the house for that one? Frank Kaminsky was in the house. I saw the picture. I didn't send it to Hunter. Did you see the picture, Josh, I'm about to refer to?
I don't know.
Ben Brust hamming it up in the Badgers locker room after the game. Yeah.
Standing arms crossed. Yeah. Trying to look like a tough guy.
Yeah,
yes,
indeed.
Don't look now. That is a different offense than what we've seen.
Don't look now. You got to look now. Did you see the new AP poll that came out?
Tell me about it.
Wisconsin 18th in the country at 4-0. Wisconsin goes unranked and really unvoted on to, 19th in the country. Marquette 15th in the country.
Can I add one here quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
Aaron Rodgers has a worse winning percentage as the Jets starting quarterback than both Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold.
That does it for us today. Unbelievable. That's a dynamite dropping. Wow. Then Sam Darnold? I guess so. I mean, they're what? What are they this year? 3-7, 3-8?
At least 3-8 because their bye week is this week.
Wow. 3-8 for the Jets. Yikers. All right, that does it for us. Big thanks to intern Will for his contributions. Good job, as always, by Tiny Ants Hunter Vaughn and... what do I call you? The Groundhog, Josh DiMaggio? I haven't called him that in a while. Thanks to Maddie Hayes as well. All the great work on social media. I'm Alex Strofe. This has been Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. We'll talk to you Wednesday beginning at 12:30 Central on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube pages, and available wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Wisconsin On Demand. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Peace.